Blog Talk Radio.
And I want to welcome you to the Destined for Victory podcast. God is good, and truly he is worthy to be praised. Just so grateful to be able to be here with you on today, just praising God for his goodness, for his mercy, for all that he has done for us. And I, again, thank you for coming. And I encourage you to let somebody know about the Destined for Victory broadcast. One word from God can change your life. No matter where you are walking today, you are destined for victory. You don't have to live life broken, busted, and disgusted. There is hope. I am the founder of the Destined for Victory organization, which is geared towards stopping childhood sexual assault and helping to heal the pain of the past, and also encouraging listeners to live the best life possible. Remember, you don't have to be a victim of life circumstances. You are destined for victory. And each week we will have special guests, and phone lines will be open for counsel, testimony, prayer and just to let your voice be heard. You can call in to 646-652-4832, and I just ask that you will help me to spread the word, let somebody know about the Destined for Victory broadcast. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you and we magnify your name. Oh God, you are worthy to be praised. There is none like you. And Lord, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise just because of who you are. I ask that you will use me mightily to your glory on tonight. Lord, let the words that I speak be encouraging to someone, be edifying to someone. Let someone hear and be equipped and educated to move forward into the victory that is contained within their destiny. Lord, let each and every person that hears my voice know that there is nothing impossible with you. So, Lord, I just thank you for all that you've done already and all that you're yet to do. And I give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in advance for this broadcast. And thank you for saving souls, changing lives, healing those who are brokenhearted, setting the captives free. I thank you for all that you've done for me and all that you're about to do for my listeners. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord again. Welcome to the Destined for Victory broadcast. Every week I come and I bring information about stopping molestation. I have a goal to prevent molestation. I haven't been molested myself many years ago as a child, and having to suffer through that, I want to make sure that we are equipped to battle molestation. Listen, it does not have to happen in your home. It does not have to happen in your home. So many people think that we are helpless, that there is nothing that we can do about molestation, but there is information is power. So I want to give you some strategies and some educational information about preventing molestation, and then I'm going to talk about healing the pain of the past. Again, the phone lines will be open. I'll be taking calls shortly, so stay tuned. I see you on the phone lines and also you in the chat room. The chat room is open. So let's dig into this. Every week we talk a little bit more about stopping molestation. Today I want to talk about the fact that we can actually diagnose and treat pedophilia. And as you learned last week, pedophilia is one of the forms of molesters. Child molesters come in many different forms, and I covered those on last week, but by way of review, a child molester can be someone who's mentally disabled, mentally disturbed, or what they would call mentally retarded. Child molester can be someone with a social disorder, someone who is antisocial. And that would normally be the person who would actually rape somebody and then kill them. You remember the little Jewish boy that was walking home last year and his neighbor grabbed him and took him to his house, gave him some liquor, you know, raped him, and then he cut him up, put him into little pieces, and put him in the freezer. That's someone with a social disorder. He's not necessarily a pedophile, but that's someone who is just psychotic. His mind is just gone, you know, and that's the type of person who will also molest children. But not only will he molest children, but he will rape women and men. So normally women and children, because they don't go after men too much. So someone with a social disorder. And then you have teenagers who are curious about sex. So there's a teenager who's curious about sex, and they may look at a younger child and begin to experiment with that child. Then you have the pedophile. And tonight we'll be talking about the pedophile. The pedophile is someone who has sexual fantasies about young children. A pedophile has a sexual disorder. So I want to talk to you about diagnostic criteria for the pedophile. And I'm reading from a book tonight. The name of the book is Stop Child Molestation. And I have been studying this because I believe that once we are informed, we can stop this thing from happening in our families, to the children in our neighborhoods, to the children in our schools, the children in our churches. Yes, I did say churches. We need to be informed. Listen, I tell women all of the time, don't let your child go to the restroom alone, especially if it's a big restroom, especially boys, because boys, they have these open urinals, and I tell you, I read a book about a boy who had been assaulted in the bathroom at church. And he was next to this guy, and this guy was, like, flashing himself to the boy. And the boy, you know, I mean, he was helpless there because nobody went into the bathroom with him. So if you have a son and you're a woman and you're in church or you're in a restaurant and your son has to go to the bathroom, take your son to the ladies' room. Amen. I would not let him go in by himself. So let's look at some of the diagnostic criteria for pedophilia. To be diagnosed with pedophilia, a person must be sexually aroused by, have interest, have recurring sexual fantasies of, or be involved in sexual behavior with a prepubescent child, a child that hasn't entered into puberty yet, or children, generally 13 years or older. So that person has to be sexually aroused by, have intensive, recurring sexual fantasies of, or be involved in sexual behavior with a child who has not reached puberty. And that's normally a child who's 13 years or younger. That person must be aroused by or have sexual fantasies of, or be involved with a child for at least 6 months. That person must be at least 16 years old, and that person must be at least 5 years older than the child or children that he or she is attracted to. And those are the diagnostic criteria. And why do I read those? I read those so that we can know that a child molester, a pedophile, can be diagnosed as early as 16 years old. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I just wanted to give you that criteria. Now let's look at the next question. How early can pedophilia be stopped? And again, I have read a story about a boy. He was 13 years old, and he started showing an interest in his five-year-old stepsister. And by the time he was 17 years old, he was molesting his stepsister. And the parents, they noticed when he was 13 that he was interested in her, but they thought it was cute. And again, this is something that we laugh off. We say, oh, he's just she's just very pretty. You might as well get used to boys being interested in her, or he's just beginning to show an interest in girls. So they kind of laugh it off, we kind of wave it off, but this is behavior. When you have a young boy showing interest in girls or boys who are younger than he is, that is cause for concern. At that point, you probably should take your son or your daughter to the doctor and have them tested to see if they have pedophilic interest. Amen. If they are pedophiles. And, I mean, I know it sounds like a disease that you wouldn't want your child to have, but if your child does have it, if your young man or your young lady has pedophilia or is a pedophile, then you would want to take them to the doctors and have them diagnosed. Because once they're diagnosed, they can be treated. Now, I had a caller last week that said, I don't believe that you can cure pedophilia. I want to tell you that everything is possible with God. Everything is possible with God. Pedophilia can be treated. It can be healed. It can be cured. Amen. Once a child molester, you do not always have to be a child molester. Once a pedophile, you don't always have to be a pedophile. So this is, you know, It's kind of hard for me to go through because it's technical and I'm really studying it right now. So just bear with me because this information is vital. So you can stop it as soon as you see that your child has an unhealthy attraction to a younger child. And the third point, I only have five today, and then I'm going to go into healing the pain of the past. The third thing is I want you to know that pedophilia is a paraphilia. Now, you might ask, what is paraphilia? A paraphilia is a psychiatric term. It's a Lord help my tongue today. It's a term that psychiatrists use to describe a sexual disorder. And this sexual disorder includes fetishism, which is a sexual obsession with objects, masochism, which is hurting oneself, sadism, which is hurting others, when you exhibit yourself or flash yourself, when you are a voyeur, when you're window peeping or peeping Tom, or when you're making obscene phone calls. These are all called paraphilia. These are abnormal sexual behaviors. So these are sexual disorders, and they are ongoing, and they too, like pedophilia, can be diagnosed. So why is all of this important? Why is it important to know about paraphilia? Well, let me tell you, when you stop pedophilia, you can also stop flashing. You know, when I was a kid, I was about, I guess I would say 13 years old, 14. I was 14 years old, and I had to walk about a mile and a half to go to high school. As I was walking to school, I had to go through this. I didn't have to, but we would cut through this empty lot, and then we would cut through the park. And there was always this guy over in the bushes, either in the park or in the empty lot, and he would always be like, and, you know, if you looked over there, he was over there flashing himself. He was over there flashing his genitalia. And I was like, wow. So we would just take off running. And I was always scared to walk through the lot by myself. So when I walked to school by myself, I would not go through the lot and I would not cut through the park. I would just go the long way and it would take longer to get to school. But, you know, this was the kind of thing that I saw growing up. And another thing that I saw a lot was old men parked in cars by the curb. And these old men would be, you know, in the car exposing themselves. You know, they would be sitting in their car exposing themselves. So we have to be careful even about our children walking home from school by themselves. You know, for me, I picked my child up from school all the way up through sixth grade. You know, I was all right there to pick her up. I didn't let her walk to school by herself. I didn't let her walk home. And a lot of people said that I was too protective, but I would rather be careful than sorry, because she did not need to be exposed to these dirty old men. And a lot of towns have a sex registry, and the school here in my town, they send home notification when somebody moves in who's a child molester. They send out notification to the parents. So another thing that you can do is go to your city hall and see where the child molesters live. Go and look at the books and see and make sure that you are keeping your child safe. So what I said, why did I say that? Because if you can stop pedophilia, if you can diagnose it and get it treated, then you can stop paraphilia. You can stop the flashing, the sadism, the masochism, the voyeurism, the exhibitionism, where people are just crazy, doing crazy stuff sexually. So that is it, and I want to tell you that the specialists who treat teenagers and adults are called sex-specific therapists. So if you have this problem, if you think that your child may be interested in younger children sexually, you want to take your child to a sex-specific therapist. Or if you have this problem, if you're listening and you have this problem, if you know someone who has this problem, if you know an uncle who is known to be a child molester, or if you have a babysitter that's been caught, you know, the best thing to do is to get them some treatment. Sometimes they just throw them into jail, but then they come out of jail and they're still child molesters. So what we want to do is stop molestation. And people who have one paraphilia often have another. So if we can stop molestation, we will be able to stop the other behaviors as well. Okay. I want to talk to you for a minute about child molestation and public health, and then I'm going to be done with this topic. But I have to get this information out of you. I know it sounds like it's hard. You know, this is not an easy topic for me to talk about, but it's important. It is so important. I want to talk to you about child molestation and public health. This is the fifth and final thing that I want to say about the clinical aspect of child molestation. And let me try to read this. The print is really small, so just bear with me. To rid our children of the plague of sexual abuse, we have to answer one last question. If pedophilia causes 95% of the sex acts against our children, what causes pedophilia? So that's a very good question. What causes pedophilia? There are three main causes: spontaneous occurrence in childhood development, accidental conditioning, and a molested child's identification with his or her aggressor. Let me read that again. It can be a spontaneous occurrence in childhood development, accidental conditioning, and a molested child's identification with his or her aggressor. And I just want to pinpoint that last reason. Somebody said last week that one of the child molesters, that one of the young men that was molested by Sandusky, Lord help my words tonight, one of the young men that was a victim of molestation actually turned around and molested a little boy. He was charged with molesting another little boy. And according to these doctors who wrote this book, people who have been molested often become child molesters in order to identify as a form of identification with their molesters. So molested children, and most of us already know this, molested children normally have a propensity to molest other children. So, and I bind up Satan because Satan, the devil, does not want this information to get out. You know, and basically what have I said in a nutshell? I pretty much felt like I stumbled over my words tonight. But I was going to keep moving until I got this out. This epidemic, child molestation, has a significant impact on a child's health. Child molestation pretty much ruins a child, you know, a person's childhood. So, and that child grows up, I want to read this too. Child molestation is a public health problem. It qualifies on two, and I thought I would be able to read this, but basically they're saying that when a child is molested, that child grows up and exhibiting behaviors that are harmful to that child's physical and emotional health. So child molestation has a negative impact on the child's physical and emotional health. And you might say, well, why is she reading from a book? Because, look, I've been dealing with child molestation for a long time. From a personal aspect and from a spiritual aspect. And I believe that once we get a clinical aspect of child molestation, it will help us to begin to heal. When you realize that your molester had a problem that was mental and physical and also medical, psychiatric problem, then you will be able to understand a lot more, like, why this happened to you. See, a lot of times we ask, well, why did this happen to me? Why was I molested? Why did this person pick on me? Well, you have to realize that your molester was sick. I mean, that's the only way I can put it. Why did I go through all of that? Basically, I went through all of that to say that your molester was sick. So by way of review tonight, I just covered the diagnostic criteria for pedophilia, you know, that the person would have to be at least 16 years old. They would have to be fantasizing about having sex with a much younger child, and that person would also maybe already be acting out on those fantasies. And then the second thing was, how early can pedophilia be stopped? As early as 13 years old, as soon as you see that your child has an unhealthy attraction to a younger child. The third thing is, what is paraphilia? Paraphilia is a psychiatric term for a sexual disorder, which includes fetishes, it includes masochists, sadism, somebody who is into flashing, someone who's into peeping through windows, a peeping Tom, which is called voyeurism, or someone who's making phone calls. You ever pick up the phone and have heavy breathing? That person is a paraphilia. That person has a sexual disorder. And then I also talked about how we can stop child molestation, that it can be treated, and what causes it. And really, it can just happen. You know, something could go wrong in your brain, but that is a social and a psychiatric disorder. Amen. So I pray that this information helps. I don't know what was going on with my tongue tonight, but I know that God is going to make this information stick, and that you'll be able to understand that this thing called molestation is not something that leaves us helpless. Even in the medical field, they are looking at ways to stop molestation. Thank you, Pastor Jones. She said, please tell us what we need but may not want to hear. Amen. And one more thing, and I'm glad you said that, because one more thing that we need to know about child molestation is that, again, Pastor Sherry Jones called in last week, and she talked about being grabbed by a neighbor. You remember that, Pastor Jones? You gave your testimony about this old man that was waiting for you to come home from school, and he grabbed you and he molested you. He had sex with you, or he raped you. And I said to you, well, how could that have been? How could we have prevented that? Because I had been looking at it from the angle of us protecting our children. You know, I talked in previous weeks about talking to our children, educating our children, and protecting our children by not leaving them with babysitters who are drinking or getting high. You know, all of this that I talked about the previous week. And as I prayed, the Lord showed me that the way that it could have been stopped would have been for somebody to recognize that man had a problem when he was younger, and taking him in to see one of these specialists, sex-specific therapists, who would have tested him to see if he was a pedophile, to see if he was sexually interested in young children. And had he tested positive, and he probably would have, they would have been able to give him treatment to stop him from having these sexual urges towards kids. And later on, I'll be able to share some of the ways that they do this, but it can be stopped. What I'm saying is, we can't ignore this. You know, if you know somebody who's molesting kids, you have to report them. you know, it has to be reported. And if your child, again, I'm saying this, if your teenager, 17, 16 years old, 15 years old, is showing unhealthy interest in younger kids, then you need to take your child to a sex-specific therapist and have your child tested. Amen? Amen. It has to be done. That's the only way we're going to stop it, is to focus on the cause. What causes child molestation? And I broke it down technically on tonight. And we have to focus on the cause, and then we have to be proactive. We have to do something about it. And, you know, we're Christians, and you might say, well, we could just pray and it'll go away. But no, God, when we pray, God gives us wisdom. The Bible says if anybody lacks wisdom, they should ask God and believe that they receive that wisdom. And that's what we have to do. We have to get the wisdom and then put it into use. And if we want to stop these people from having sex with our kids, if we really want to stop these sick individuals from molesting children, then we have to be proactive. And part of that is telling people about this broadcast. It's not cute. It's not flowing maybe as smoothly as a lot of other broadcasts. It may be a bit awkward at times. It may be hard to hear, but it's necessary. It's so necessary. And guess what? I'm going to come up under attack. It's going to be hard sometimes for me to do this because, again, I'm talking about things. We're talking about things here that nobody really wants to talk about. This is the stuff that was swept under the rug. When Uncle Johnny touched somebody in the family, everybody said, shh, don't tell anybody, keep it quiet. And I'm telling you, we have to do something. We really must do something about it. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about healing the pain of the past, and then I'm just going to open up the phone lines so that you all can talk to me on tonight. Again, let me give some of my testimony. I'm 50. I'm 50. 50 years old. Praise the Lord. Just turned 50 in September. And when I was young, I was molested. I was about 10 years old. I never said anything, never told anybody. I was very smart. I continued to be very smart. But later on, when I was 12, I was molested again by an older boy. And I became his girlfriend. I became his girlfriend. I was his girlfriend for about a year and a half. During that year and a half, I got pregnant. My mom took me to an abortion clinic, and I actually did have an abortion, although I wasn't fully aware of what I was doing. I don't think mommy was either. And what happened after that was I became sexually promiscuous, you know, just sleeping around, looking for love in all of the wrong places. But not only that, I started smoking weed, started smoking marijuana, started snorting cocaine. By the time I was 18, I was introduced to cocaine by a cocaine dealer, and he had so much cocaine. I mean, I literally had a weekend binge of cocaine, to the fact that all I wanted now was to get that first buzz, to get that first high that I got when I first had an experience with cocaine. Of course, I'm chasing the rainbow. So for many years after that, from 18 until 30, I was a party girl, went to clubs almost every night of the week. I, you know, just on the floor shaking my groove thing, you know, just flirting around with different guys, wearing the clothes, you know, that would get me the attention that I got from my molester. I mean, I thought that it was my fault. I thought that, you know, if I dressed a certain way, if I acted a certain way, then I would be loved. I thought I equated sex with love. I thought that love was sex because that's what my molester wanted from me, was sex. So it was a rough road. I drank a lot. I got high almost every day. I was functional, though. I believe that God's hand was on me even then because he allowed me to go to work. I was a teenage mother. I was pregnant again at 15, a mother at 16, and went on welfare, dropped out of high school, became a welfare mother. And I tell you, Colt 45 was my breakfast with a joint. And, you know, I just fell in love with the wrong man. I fell in love with a man who I believe was a homosexual on the down low, because about a year and a half into our relationship, I found gay porn in our closet in his bag. And it broke my heart. I mean, just broke my heart. Before that, I was in love with another guy, and I came and found him in bed with my cousin. And just so much went on in my young life. I moved out of my mother's house when I was 18 years old with my baby. And by then, I was really binging and really just trying to kill the pain. You know, I was in so much pain, and reality was too real for me. I couldn't handle reality, didn't want to think straight. I didn't want to think straight. I couldn't handle reality. I just wanted to just smoke some more reefer and drink some more liquor. And again, I was partying every night. I just wanted to go on the dance floor and shake my groove thing and have people. I felt like all of this stuff was helping me. And I felt like when I was on the dance floor and, you know, I felt like I was the star of the party. I don't know if anybody can relate, but I felt like in my own mind, the party didn't start until I got there. And I was the star, the bar star. I was the star of the bar. And, you know, men would buy us drinks. Old men, you know, would buy us. We were young. We were pretty young things. And they would buy us drinks and try to get us drunk enough to take us home. Thank God I didn't go that far as to pick up men in bars. But there were one or two times that I probably ended up with the wrong dude. And I just didn't realize that this behavior could have killed me. You know, I could have had an overdose. I could have gotten AIDS in my body. I could have gotten killed out there driving and drinking and getting high. So much could have happened as a result of the life that I was living in the fast lane. And one night I met a man who introduced me to Christ. You know, he told me that he was going to church. We were in the bar, and he invited me to church. I told him, I said, I don't go to church. I don't believe in church, nothing in church but a bunch of hypocrites. If I'm going to hell, as they've been telling me, because it was funny. All of the, it wasn't funny, but all of the people who came to tell me about Jesus told me that I was a sinner and I was going to hell. And that's all I heard, that I was going to hell. Nobody told me that God loved me. Nobody told me that God had a great plan for my life. Nobody told me that Jesus died for me. Nobody told me the truth. They just told me a part of the truth, that I was a sinner and I was going to hell. And leave it to them, that's exactly what I would, where I would have ended up. But this man took extra time, and he continually invited me to church. And one day I went to church with him, and I tell you, it felt like I was home. I walked into the place, and the spirit in that place connected with the spirit in me, and I just felt like I had found something that was missing. And I began to go to church every week. I finally put down the drugs. I put down the liquor. And as I put everything down, I started to feel the pain. Because remember, the drugs and the liquor and the partying and the men, all of that stuff was to prevent me from feeling anything. So now all of a sudden, I have no drugs, I have no liquor, and I'm married to this man who has taking me to church. He proposed to me a year after we met, and we married a year later. So now, 2 years later, I'm married, and I'm not getting high, not getting drunk anymore. I'm stuck with one man for the rest of my life, and I'm not partying anymore. Not because nobody told me to stop partying, but because the Spirit of the Lord just began to transform my life and began to change me. And the things that I thought I needed any longer, I didn't think the things that I thought I needed, I didn't feel like I needed them any longer. And this man that I married, he was angry, and I was angry, so we had a lot of fights. We had a lot of arguments. We hurt each other with our words. I tried to fight him. I wanted to fight because that's what I learned from my parents. My parents fought each other when I was growing up, and I thought that was what love was. You know, not only was love sex, but love was, you know, if you love me, you'll hit me. But God is amazing. I want you all to know out there tonight that God is amazing. He is truly amazing because he began to show me real love. And I began to experience all of this pain, and it was like almost like, wow, you know, it was excruciating, but it didn't hurt as much as it should have. Because the Holy Spirit was a buffer to the pain. God was buffering the pain. He was my anesthesia now. You know, where the liquor used to be my anesthesia, now God was my anesthesia. But I was feeling that thing, and he allowed the smoke to clear out of my head, and I remember everything that I had blocked out. And all of a sudden, I remembered that I had been molested. And I remember why I was angry. I remember why I was hurting. I remember why I was drinking and getting high and partying. It was because of something that happened to me that should never have happened, you know, that I was molested, and not just once, but twice. And instead of knowing, I didn't know how to deal with it. So that was my way of dealing with it. Now I had to deal with the pain, and I tell you, it was only Jesus that helped me to heal the pain of my past. The first thing that God began to deal with me about was forgiveness. You know, he began to tell me that I had to forgive those people that hurt me, and I was like, forgive? Are you serious? You know, they didn't deserve to be forgiven. They had hurt me terribly, ruined my life. What do you mean forgive? How can I forgive them was my question for what they've done to me. And God began to reveal to me that I had committed some sins too, you know, and I had been forgiven for all the dirty, filthy, stinky, horrible things that I had done. I mean, my God, I give my testimony. I do give my testimony. But I have not yet told you or anybody everything that I have done in my life. I have done some stuff that was just, I mean, off the wall, I mean, off the chart as far as wrong is concerned. I mean, I have done some wrong. And God reminded me that I have been forgiven of all of that stuff, because when Jesus comes into your life, when you repent of your sins and receive Jesus into your life, God forgives you of all of your sins. And he reminded me that I was forgiven, that everything had gone into the sea of forgetfulness, and he was never going to remember it again. And I was like, my God, who am I not to forgive after I've been forgiven for so much? I can forgive that person who touched me. I can forgive that person who raped me. I can forgive them because I have been forgiven for so much. No, I didn't rape anybody. I didn't molest anyone. But my God, I had an abortion, you know, and that's murder, you know. If he could forgive me for that, and I was still alive, then I could forgive them for what they had done. But it wasn't easy. But when I obeyed God and forgave, it was like shackles fell off of me. I don't know if anybody could understand that. It's like the chains fell off of me because my bitterness and my anger at them had not been hurting them, but it had been hurting me. So when I forgave, then God allowed healing to begin to come into my heart, and it was supernatural. The way that God healed me, the way that he allowed me to forgive those people who hurt me So he told me to forgive, and I made up my mind to forgive them, those people who hurt me. Then God said, you have to forgive yourself. He said, you have to forgive yourself for all of the stuff that you've done. I've forgiven you, but you haven't forgiven yourself. So now I had to forgive myself. You know, I had to forgive myself for what I did as a result of what they did to me. I had to forgive myself for my behavior, for the abortion, for the drinking, for the drugging, for the sexual sins that I had committed. I had to forgive myself for all the dirty things that I did, for all the crazy things that I did. And then God began to deal with me and said, now you have to receive my forgiveness. See, forgiveness is so powerful. You know, God says he forgives us. We come to the altar, we hold up our hands, and we say, Lord, I repent of my sins. Please forgive me. And we walk away from that altar having said that, but we do not really receive God's forgiveness in our heart. And you have to receive the fact that God has forgiven you. Know that he's forgiven you. Forgive yourself and receive the forgiveness from God that he has already given you. So I had to receive that forgiveness. And then God says to me, you have to realize that the molestation was not your fault. And I was like, wow, you know, my God, that was a revelation to me, because that's what I thought, that I was to blame. I thought it was my fault. And God said, no, it wasn't your fault. You have to realize that it wasn't your fault. It was not your fault if you were molested. It was not your fault if you were raped. It was not your fault if your father or mother abandoned you. It was not your fault if your parents were drug addicts. It was not your fault if your parents were abusive. It was not your fault if you were supposed to be aborted. You know, some mothers are crazy enough to tell their babies, I tried to abort you. You know, let's not do that to our children. If you tried to have an abortion, or if you even thought about it and you didn't, and your child is here, your child never has to know that you thought about having an abortion. So it was not your fault. You know, that's the thing that you have to know, that it was not your fault. And God had to tell me that. And then the final thing that that has helped me to be healed, I know I should be giving scripture and everything, but I really want to keep it practical. I want to keep it so practical that a baby can understand it. The final thing that I had to do to receive healing, and this was throughout the whole process, it didn't come on the end. As a matter of fact, it came at the beginning. The final thing, good night, baby. That's my baby girl going to bed. The final thing that I had to realize was that God loved me. I mean, wow. His love, listen, when I received God's love, it was like a bomb of Gilead. When I received God's love, it was like, this is what I've been looking for all of my life. I have been out here looking for love in all the wrong places. And here, God's been with his arms held out to me all of this time. But I've been looking at the Coke 45, and I've been looking at the reefer, and I've been looking at the cocaine, and I've been looking at the men. I've been looking at the parties and the dance floor and the crowd and the lights. And God was saying, I've been here. I have been here all of the time. I've been waiting for you. I have been waiting for you. And God began to tell me how much he loved me. I began to hear not just that I was going to hell, but I began to hear that God loves me. And that's what I want to share with you on today, that God loves you. God loves you so much that he sent his son. Even as we're going into Christmas on this weekend, God wants you to know that he loves you so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you so that you would have life and have a blessed life, have life to the fullest with nothing missing, nothing hurting. God wants you healed. I have had to realize that God loved me, and I had to receive that love, and I had to love him back. I had to love him back. And you know, it was his love that drew me towards repentance. I talked about putting down the liquor, putting down the drugs. It wasn't because of me. I'm not that great. I'm not that powerful. I didn't go to rehab. I didn't go to meetings. God took away the taste. He saved me. God saved me. And what we have to realize is that when we're saved from the power, the presence, the pleasure, and the penalty of sin. When you're saved from the power, the penalty, the pleasure, and the presence of sin. When you're saved from sin, sickness, Satan, and death. God healed me. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal those who are brokenhearted. My God, to open the eyes of the blind. God is just so powerful. And this was my healing. It sounds simple, but this was how God healed me. He healed me by his forgiveness. He healed me by his love. He healed me by taking away the blame, the shame, the guilt. He took away my guilt. He took away the guilt. He healed me, my God, by taking away the bitterness and the anger. That's what God does when he tells you to forgive. When you give, when you obey God and you forgive, he takes away the anger from your heart. He takes away the bitterness, and he takes away the pain. Amen. So I'm opening up the phone lines, 646-652-4832. God is just so awesome. He has totally healed me. I was angry, fighting. I had no self-esteem. I would never, never share my testimony because I had so much shame and so much guilt. But God stepped into my life, and he gave me a brand new life. And I could try to tell you, I could pull 1,000 scriptures. I'm a preacher. I know all of the scriptures. But I really want to be really, really real with you on tonight. And that's why I'm here. You know, when I saw the trial come out about the little boys being molested, when I heard about everything going on in the church, and knowing my own testimony and knowing the testimony of so many women and now men, I have to come out and speak out against molestation. And as a part of that, I have to speak victory into the airways and let you know that you're destined for victory. No matter what you've done, how many times you've done it, who you've done it with, God loves you. God loves you. You might be hurting right now. You know, I talked about some of the pain from my childhood. You know, that first abortion led me to have to turn around and get pregnant again because I felt like, you know, something so precious had been taken from me. I mean, abortion is horrible. You know, don't ever even think about having an abortion. I don't care. I don't care if you're Christian, if you're saved, and you had sex, and now you're pregnant, but you're not married. Go ahead and have your baby. Life, the gift of life comes from God. Go ahead and have your baby. And if you have had an abortion, I pray God's supernatural healing over your life right now. Receive God's forgiveness in the name of Jesus. God does not hold our past against us. God's mercies are new every day. And all we have to do is receive God's mercies every day. God is a forgiving God. He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. Yes, he's a God of judgment, but so many times people want to put God's judgment ahead of his love. No, he loves us first. He loves us and gives us an opportunity to turn around, to get it right, to repent. And if we don't repent, then he passes his judgment down. But God wants to let you know today that you're forgiven. And I don't know why I'm flowing like this today. I just sense that somebody out there is hurting. Somebody out there is hurting, and you might feel like giving up. And I want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. God has a great plan for your life. God has a plan to prosper you. He has a plan to bring you into a bright and glorious future. God has a plan. He's going to give you hope when you're feeling hopeless. I'm here. I'm just pleading with you. Give it another shot. Don't give up tonight. Don't quit. You know, somebody's just feeling like really frustrated tonight. And I just want you to know that it's not over yet. There's still hope. It's not over until God says it's over. And tonight he sent me to let you know that there's more that he has in store for you. If you've been hurt in the past, God wants you to know that healing is available to you today. If you would just worship him. And that's the final thing that I learned over the years. As God began to heal me through forgiveness and by letting me know it wasn't my fault, and he began to heal me through his love, God began to teach me how to be a worshiper, how to worship him. Jesus told the woman at the well that they that worship my Father must worship him in spirit and in truth. And God taught me how to worship him. How to worship him in spite of it all, in spite of whatever was going on, to know that my circumstances did not change the fact that he is God. It did not diminish his power. Did you hear me? What you're going through right now, what you have gone through, does not change the fact that God is still God. It does not diminish the power of the blood that was shed on the cross on Calvary. Jesus shed his blood. He died so that we could live. Jesus died so that you could have life. And listen, you might be a Christian tonight, but you have not tapped into the fullness of the power of life that Jesus came to bring you. I want to encourage you tonight to become a worshiper, to begin to worship God. I'm not talking about shouting and dancing in the church, but I'm talking about worshiping God every single day of your life. Will you live your life to please him? Will you live your life just to please God? That's worship. That's the highest form of worship. When you lay down yourself and you say, you know what, I'm not going to live to please myself or to please my flesh, but I'm going to live to please God. When you live your life like that, you are worshiping God every single day of your life. And you don't even have to think twice. You just say, God, I worship you. And he'll show you what not to say and what not to do. He'll show you what not to wear. So many times we try to do the outward stuff, but God wants to work on your heart. God wants your heart tonight, whether you're saved or not. God wants your heart. Some of us are in church. We have a form of godliness, but we have never given God our heart. And if you want to truly get rid of that pain in your heart, give God your heart tonight. Say, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I give you my life. The Bible tells us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. And you got to love God like that. If you love him like that, and if you worship him, God will come in. He says, I will abide with you. And the Son and the Holy Ghost, they will come in and they will begin to grow up on the inside of you. In other words, God will begin to fill you up so that you won't have a desire for anything outside of his will, anything that would be detrimental to your health and detrimental to your livelihood and detrimental to you having a blessed life. You won't want any of that stuff. You'll just want to submit and surrender your life to God. And if you do that, God will take away the pain. I don't know if this is making sense to anybody out there. God will take away the pain if you give him your whole life. If you give him your whole life, love him with everything in you. Allow him to heal you. There's a story in the Bible, and you can call in 646-652-4832 if you want to speak with me and press 1. I put you on the air if you need prayer, if you have a testimony, if you just want to share, if you have a question. There's a story in the Bible, and the God is just doing something awesome. I feel yokes being destroyed tonight. There's a story in the Bible about a woman who had an issue for 12 years. 12 years she had an issue of blood. And she said to herself, after having spent all of her money going to different physicians, she said to herself, when she heard that Jesus was coming into town, she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, thank you, Jesus. She said, I know I'll be made whole. And she pressed through the crowd, and she risked her life to get to Jesus. And when she got to him, she grabbed the hold of the hem of his garment, and immediately virtue went out of Jesus. And the woman felt in her body that she had been made whole. And when she felt in her body that she had been made whole, Jesus turned around and said, who touched my clothes? And the woman tried to hide, but she finally had to come out and tell Jesus everything. And the disciples were like, Jesus, are you crazy? All of these people around you, and you're asking who touched you? And the woman came out and said, Jesus, it was me. I've been sick all these years. I spent all of my money on doctors. I've been all around looking for help, and nobody could help me. Nobody could make me whole. But when I heard about you, Jesus, I got a glimmer of hope. I began to hope again, and I said to myself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, then I know I'll be made whole. And Jesus, I came and I'm bleeding. I've been bleeding all these years, and I should be stoned for being inside the city walls. But Jesus, it was worth me dying for me to get to you. And I just, because if I couldn't get to you, I know I couldn't live any longer like this. I couldn't go on any longer like this, so I had to touch you, Jesus. And she grabbed us. She said, I grabbed you, and immediately I knew I was whole. Jesus, I've been healed, and I worship you. I can see this woman so clearly in my mind because I was that woman. When I heard about Jesus, I said, I tried everything else. I got to get to Jesus for real. Not playing church, but I got to touch the hem of his garment. And I'm telling you, I did. And he gave me a brand new life. He took away my pain. I didn't even know when it left. All I know is I'm healed. It was little by little over the years, but I looked up one day and there was no more pain. I can't tell you that it'll be instantaneous. I can't tell you that he'll heal you right away. Some he did, and some had to dip 7 times, and some had to come back and be touched again. But I can tell you one thing, Jesus will heal you. If you would just continually touch the hem of his garment. We have a caller. Thank you, Jesus. Area code 252, you're on the air. Welcome to Destined for Victory. Area code 252. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. That caller is not there. But God is so good. God is just so good. God bless you, Evangelist Cynthia Robinson. God bless you, Pastor Sherry Jones. God bless you. I love Jesus. Amen. We could just touch the hem of his garment. If we could do, you know, and we have to do that. Area code 252, are you there? Can you hear me in the chat room? Amen. Hallelujah. And if we could do that on a regular basis, if we could just get to Jesus on a daily basis, listen, Evangelist Cynthia Robinson says we have to get hold to the robe. And she said he will heal you. He will get into those broken places of our heart and heal it. That is my testimony. He healed me. He healed her. He's healed Pastor Sherry Jones. He's healed me. He's healed so many of us. If we could just get to the hem of his garment. And, you know, the sad part about it is that so many of us are in church, but we're not in Christ. We're not in Christ. To be in Christ means that you are in him and he's in you and he's living and abiding in you. And in him you move and live and have your being. The Bible says, cleave to God, for he is your life. And we have to get to the point, listen, it's enough of us faking the funk. Some people say fake it until you make it, but it's enough of us faking the funk. We have to really, really get to Jesus. You know, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, the prophet Isaiah says, I saw the Lord. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, seated on the throne, exalted. And it says, and the hem of his robe filled the temple, and the temple was filled with his glory. Amen. Hallelujah. The hem of his robe filled the temple. Amen. And that's what we have to do. We have to get to the point where the hem of his robe is filling the temple. Amen. Not just the temple of the church. Not just on Sunday morning, amen. You know, so many times people wonder why we lift our hands in church, amen. We lift our hands to touch the hem of his garment in total surrender, total submission, dying daily, dying to him and saying, for you I live and you I live. Fill me to the utmost, God. We lift our hands in worship to God, amen. But also, we don't only want God to fill the temple of the church building, but we need God to fill the temple of the church individually. I need God to fill my temple. You need God to fill your temple. Our bodies are the temple of the living God. Amen. So as God fills us up, amen, then everything else has to go. Everything else has to go. You know, if God is in control, and when he's in control, you know, I wrote in my book, The Cry of a Woman's Heart, I said, a lot of people say, well, I don't feel like you feel, I don't feel that passion, that fervor, that zeal for Jesus that you feel. I don't feel like God is making a difference in my life. I've been saved all of these years, and it still hurts. And I'm still having a hard time. And I want to say this. This is what I say in my book. Maybe, just maybe, you haven't given your all to Jesus. Maybe you haven't sold out to God. See, you have to get to the point where you're sold out, where you are just so sold out. Like, listen, you got to get to the point where you are hearing God's voice and obeying God's voice. You have got to get to the point where God is more important to you than that urge to have sex with Boo or Bobo. You have to get to the point where where obeying God and loving on God is more important than wanting to get high or get drunk. Come on, I know what I'm talking about. You know, you have to get to the point where you love God too much to let profanity slip through your lips. Because blessing and cursing can't come through the same vessel, through the same lips, and also because we're not supposed to let any profanity proceed from our mouths. Amen? You have to get to the point where you love God too much to dress seductively, where you know you're going to get attention. You know, we just have to get to the point where we totally obey God. And don't get me wrong. Obeying God and loving God is not about how you dress. It's not about how you walk. It's not about how you talk. It's not about any of that. Obeying God is about your relationship with him through the Lordship of Jesus Christ. When you truly can say that Jesus is not only my Savior, but he's my Lord. When you truly can say that I give my all to God, then you're on that road to victory. You're on the path to victory. You can't straddle the fence. So many times we think, if I just give God a little bit of me, if I just go to the altar and repent and get baptized, then I'll be saved and I could go out and keep living any kind of way I want to live. God wants to give you a new life. God wants to take away the old, and he wants to give you the new. Will you receive it on today, though? Will you receive it? You know, God has so much in store for us. You know, and we're in church, and we're in leadership. You know, I said this on Saturday. I don't know why God is taking me this way again. But we're in leadership, we're in church, but we're not saved. We're not sold out. I told you, being saved means that you have been delivered from sin, sickness, Satan, and death. You know, you get to the point where, I'm not saying you'll never sin, but I'm saying you get to the point where you can go weeks without messing up. Let me share a testimony with you. I believe that that's why I'm feeling this burden tonight, to just really, really, I'm almost begging you to give your life to Jesus. You know, I'm feeling this burden for souls. My sister is, I'm 50, so my sister's 47 years old. And she just came out of the hospital. She had to have a stent put into her heart. And, you know, that was just alarming to me because I'm like, what is going on? You know, what is that? But when we look at the lifestyle and we look at some of the things that are going on in her life, you know, we realize that she has to totally surrender and give her life to God, you know. And I'm heavy tonight because I lost a sister 4 years ago to drugs. You know, my sister was molested again. She was molested just like I was at a young age, and she began to get high. She began to party. She ran away at the age of 16. She started to shoot heroin, and she contracted the HIV. She contracted the virus. That was about 20 years ago that she got the virus, about 25 years ago. And she lived about 25 years. She lived about 21 years with the virus until finally her body just shut down and she was gone. And I'm telling you, whether it's a biological sister or a spiritual brother or sister, I am determined not to just sit back and be quiet and let the devil take out my brothers and sisters. Listen, we need to stop the drugging. We got to stop the drinking. We got to stop the cigarette smoking. We need to stop the behaviors, sexing around, just running around, sleeping here and there, trying to heal something that's hurting on the inside of us. That's not the answer. It's not the answer. You know, that is not the answer. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. And until you give him your pain, these behaviors are going to continue to haunt you, and you're going to always feel like you got to pick up. You know, and then let me talk about your relationships, man or woman. Listen, relationships they can be detrimental to your health. There are people that you can let into your life that will stress you out so badly that they will make you want to pick up. They'll make you want to go back to old behavior. They'll make you want to do things that are not conducive to the blessed life. You have to be careful of who you are in relationship with. I'm serious. I'm serious. I'm crying now. I mean, I'm so serious. I'm just so serious. You have to, listen, why let somebody take up space in your life that's not adding anything positively to your life? This person is bringing you down. Why do you let them continue to stay in your life? You know, this person is constantly controlling you and nagging you. This person is even maybe abusing you and misusing you, lying to you, cheating on you. But you let them continue to stay in your life. And you know you're a Christian, and you know Jesus came so that you can have a better life. So why are you compromising? Why are you putting up with nonsense? Why are you continuing to let this person detract from your life or subtract from your life? I don't get it. You know, I just don't get it. God wants better for you. That's what Jeremiah 29:11 is all about. God wants better for you. That's what John 10:10 is all about. God wants better for you. And yeah, you're hurting. You may be hurting, but you don't have to keep hurting. You don't have to keep hurting. So I'm here, you know, again, you can call in if you want to talk. I can only be here until midnight because I have to go out in the morning. But I just wanted to just come. I didn't know it was going to turn out like this, but I want to let you know this woman touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and she was healed. And the Bible says that when Jesus went through the town, that they brought all of the sick to him, and every person that touched him was healed. And that's what I'm saying to you on today, on tonight, that if you touch the hem of his garment, you too shall be healed, just like he healed me. Amen. So God bless you. The phone lines are open, 646-652-4832. I guess that's it. I'm disturbed, you know, just really perturbed. Like, man, I don't believe this. You know, it's the week of Christmas, and that's what God is saying. Christmas is not about buying a whole bunch of presents. Area code 252, are you there?
Hello.
God bless you. How are you?
God bless you. I'm blessed. How are you?
I'm blessed. Who's calling?
This is Shaquella.
Oh, how are you? Okay, you're calling from down south, huh?
Yes, ma'am. I'm actually calling out of Durham, North Carolina.
Durham. Okay. Yeah. Did you have your hand raised? Did you have something you wanted to say, or did you have a question, or you need prayer?
I wanted prayer, but I wanted to say that your show was really to me. It really blessed me. So just
Thank
hearing
you.
Your testimony, and it was just informative. So I just wanted to say that I just ask God to continue to use you and do what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you, my sister. Thank you so much. You know, and that's what we have to do when God has healed us. That we have to go back and help our sisters and help our brothers to be healed too. And we can't do that by keeping this inside. We can't keep it to ourselves. The Lord does so much. He's allowed me to write books, and you know, I go around and I preach, you know, and I pastor a church. But none of that means anything to me if nobody's getting delivered, if nobody's getting set free. You know, it's no time to put on air. We just have to stay real and keep it real. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. That's true. Amen.
Amen. Amen. How did you hear about the show?
A friend of mine, Michelle.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Okay. So how do you spell your name so I can pray? I want to pronounce it right.
It's S-H-A. Q-U-E-L-A.
Okay, is there anything in particular that you need prayer for?
No, I don't know. I just want you to, you know, let the Spirit lead you in prayer.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, let me pray for you. Father, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you and we magnify your name on tonight. Oh, Lord, you are worthy to be praised. And we just thank you, Lord, for all that you've done and all that you've allowed me to share on tonight. I thank you for my sister, oh God, Shaquella, who has called in on tonight, God. I just thank you for her life, oh God. I thank you for everything that you're doing in her life. And I ask that you would continue, Father God, even, Father God, to pour into her, Father God, even as she's hungry for even the more of you, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just ask, Father God, that you will continue to heal her, even, Father God, from the hurts that she has endured, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your power. I thank you for strengthening her. I thank you for keeping her, oh God. And Lord, I just ask, Father God, that you will continue, Father God, to use her, oh God, even, Father God, in North Carolina, oh God, even, Father God, even as you continue to have her, Father God, to share her story, oh God, with others who are hurting, oh Lord. Lord, I just ask, Father God, to continue to help her, Father God, to be encouraged, oh God, even as she encourages others, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Father God, for your glory, Father God, which rests upon her life, oh God. And I ask, Father God, for supernatural exponential healing, Lord, that you would even begin to heal, Father God, even some of the hidden things, oh God, that she has never been able to share, oh God, with others, oh Lord. Lord, I just thank you for the great plan that you have for her life, oh God. Plans to prosper her and not to harm her. Plans to bring her to an expected end, oh Lord. Lord, I just thank you and I praise you for my sister, oh God. Lord, thank you for her mind. Keep her mind, her body, her soul, her life, oh God. In the name of Jesus. So, Lord, I just thank you and I praise you and I worship you on tonight in the name of Jesus for my sister, Shaquella, oh God. And even as I was praying, you know, the Lord showed me, Shaquella, you ministry. I don't know if you're in ministry right now in any form, but the Lord showed me helping other sisters. He showed me you ministering to sisters. I saw a light. I saw that you're a great light, that when you come, that people see you and they see you bringing joy, and you also walk in truth. I see you walking in a lot of truth. Of course, there's a lot of opposition to truth, because people don't want the truth to come forth. I see you working even in the area of children, with the little children. I don't know if they're your children, but I see children around you, and I see you training children up in the ways of the Lord. I see the Lord just using you. I don't know if you're working in ministry right now again in your church, but I just see the Lord doing some things through you in the way of ministry. And I've seen it not necessarily in the church, like even outside of the church, mm-hmm. that there are people that look to you. I see a lot of wisdom coming forth from you. I see you speaking words of wisdom to people who are not saved, more like the way of not evangelism in the church, but street evangelism, where people are, that nobody else is reaching, that you are reaching these people. And the Lord's going to continue to build you and edify you. I see you being a little weary. I pray for your strength. Lord, I pray for her strength in the Lord, that you will continue to strengthen her, oh God, even now, oh God, strengthen her in her body, oh Lord. I come against the hand of the devil, even trying to attack her body in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of weariness, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. I see a time of harvest. God is saying it's harvest time, that he's getting ready to bring you into a harvest. And, you know, when I see that harvest, again, I'm seeing souls. I don't know why I'm seeing souls, but I see fruit coming forth from your testimony, from your life. I hate this. I almost don't want to say ministry, but that word just keeps popping up into my mind. I see fruit coming forth from the ministry that the Lord is having you to do and that he's going to have you to do. I'm hearing greater things. I'm hearing your latter days shall be better than your former days. God says you've been through some tough times, but he's bringing you to a place of total healing. I see that you've gotten some healing, but God wants to bring you to a place of total healing and total restoration. I'm hearing the word restoration, that God's restoring some things to you that have been stolen from you, that everything that the devil has thought that he has stolen, God says he's restoring those things to you. I see more joy coming to you, laughter. I see you laughing and having just a great time. Restoration, again, I'm seeing restoration in some relationships that have been under a lot of weight. There's been a lot of weight under some relationships, and I see God restoring some relationships in your life. I also see a big pair of scissors where things are being pruned. There's a pruning, a purging taking place in your life, and God says don't be afraid to let some people go. Lord, I just thank you for my sister, and I thank you for everything that you're doing in her life, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the power that you've given her. I see that you're a woman of great power, but there's the attacks that come against you to make you think that you're insignificant. I see almost an invalidation of you, that there's some things that have happened recently that have made you feel like, almost like incapable or inadequate. And God just wants you to know that whatever he calls you to, he equips you for, and that he already knew before you were born that you would be taking this path that you're taking now. So, Lord, I just thank you for my sister, oh, God. And Father God, I just pray for courage. I pray for strength. I pray for stability. I pray for healing, oh, God. I pray, Father God, for a refilling of your anointing, oh, God, on her life, oh, God. Even for this fresh new era that you're taking her into, Lord, I just thank you for newness of life, oh, God. And I thank you for the word that you have allowed me to speak over her life on tonight, God, knowing that not one word shall fall to the ground. So, Lord, I just thank you and I praise you for my sister on tonight and all that you're going to do in the life of Shaquella. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, man.
Thank you. Are you in ministry?
No, I'm not, but I know that one day soon I'm going to be, you know, that God has called me to ministry. I just know it. So basically, that's confirmation.
Yeah, I hear a call to wholeness. Called to wholeness. God's making you whole. He's still doing some work in your life. And I'm hearing the scripture that says, now that Jesus told Peter that Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. He said, now that you've been strengthened, go back and strengthen your brethren. So I'm hearing that God is calling you to wholeness and that you're going to minister wholeness and healing to a lot of other folk. And this is not necessary. I don't necessarily see a pulpit. You know, I'm not talking about, you know, so many times people think ministry is pulpit, but I see you going out. I see you reaching out to people that are not being reached.
Praise God.
And bringing them in. So, you know, you just let the Lord have his way. Don't grow weary. God's doing a mighty work in your life, sister. I see a light over your head.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. There's light coming through the tunnel. There's light coming through the tunnel. Your latter days are going to be better. So the Lord says he has such great plans for you. I'm hearing him say, draw nearer to me. Draw nearer to me. God is waking you up. He's waking you up, and, you know, you don't know why you can't go back to sleep. God said he wants you to pray. He wants you to come and spend time with him, and it's a sacrifice, but it's your obedience that God's going to bless.
Jesus.
It's obedience. Your obedience is going to be blessed for the sacrifice. God is asking you to make a sacrifice for him, and not just in prayer, but there's another area that God, Lord Jesus, there's another area that God is asking you to make a sacrifice in. I don't know, you know better than I do what that is. So, you know, go ahead and give it to the Lord, sister.
I will.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I just thank God for you. And call me back and, you know, talk to me. Let me know what's going on with you. And tell Michelle I said hi.
Okay, I sure will. God bless you.
God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. My God, God is just so awesome. He's an awesome God. We have another caller, area code. Your number's not showing up. You're on the air. Welcome to Destined for Victory.
Hi, Pastor Rebecca.
Oh, God bless you. Is this Prophetess Michelle?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Oh, bless you. How are you doing? I was thinking about you today. I was thinking about your stomach. How's your stomach?
It's doing a little bit better. I'm still having, you know, little problems, but, you know, I'm still going on. It's can't keep me down. So, you know.
That's right. Amen. And thank you for referring Sister Shaquella to the broadcast.
Oh, praise God. I know that, you know, this ministry would be a blessing to her. So, yeah, it was a blessing to me. How are you?
I'm blessed. Like I was saying, I was at the hospital earlier with my little sister, one of my younger sisters, and, you know, I just got mad at the devil. I got mad at the devil, and You know, because he has no victory. We have the victory through Jesus. You know, he has no victory, so she's already covered. She's already coming into the kingdom. I declare it in the name of Jesus.
Praise God. Praise God. What is your sister's name? I can you know, be praying for.
Barbara Thomas.
Okay.
Yeah, so lift her up, you know, lift her up continually that she would come all the way in. I'm declaring that she's coming all the way in. The Lord wants her all the way in and to remove any ungodly influences from her life.
That's right.
So I thank you so much for standing and agreeing with me in prayer for her.
Okay. You want me to pray now?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, hey, go ahead. Yes, that would be great. Go ahead. You can pray now for her, or you could pray later. But if you want to pray now, that's fine.
Okay. You said her name is Barbara, right?
Yes.
Okay. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, first and foremost, Father God, I just want to say thank you, Father. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, oh God. Lord God, I just thank you right now, Father God, for Barbara right now, God. In the name of Jesus, God. Lord God, I just thank you, Father God. Lord God, I just thank you for her heart right now, God. In the name of Jesus, God. Lord God, I just ask you tonight, Father God, to go into her heart, Father God. And I pray, Father God, that you would reach her, Father God, in areas, God, where no man, no woman can, Father God. In the name of Jesus, God. Lord God, each and every area, Father God, where she's been wounded, oh God. I pray, God, that you would bring forth healing in the name of Jesus, God. Lord God, I just ask, Father God, that you would bring forth deliverance, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God. Lord God, I just pray, Father God, that right where she is, Father God, I pray, God, that you would reach her in the name of Jesus, God. Lord God, I just pray, Father God, that you would send, God, send ministering angels to her, Father God, that they would minister your word, minister your gospel to her, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God. I pray, God, that even now, God, that you would begin to stir her up, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God. Unite the fire in the name of Jesus, God. Revive her spirit, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God. Lord God, I just pray, Father God, that you would mend her broken heart even now, God, in the name of Jesus, God. I pray, God, that you would touch her body even now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God. I rebuke every attack right now in the name of Jesus, God. I rebuke every attack against her mind even now in the name of Jesus, God. I speak to the spirit of confusion even now in the name of Jesus, and I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. God, I just pray right now, Father God, that the turmoil, God, would cease in the name of Jesus, God. I speak peace around her in the name of Jesus, God. You are Jehovah Shalom tonight, God. So, Father God, we call on you tonight, God, to be Barbara's Jehovah Shalom in the name of Jesus, God. I pray, Father God, that you would stir her up even now in the name of Jesus, God. Move in her life in the name of Jesus, God. Move in the name of Jesus, God. Lord God, I decree and declare a turnaround even now in the name of Jesus, God. Lord God, I pray, God, that you would get the glory, God, out of her life in the name of Jesus, God. I pray, God, for a marriage, God, between you and her in the name of Jesus, God. Lord God, I pray even now, God, that she will become one with you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God. Move mightily in the name of Jesus, God. And I speak to every wall, God, that the enemy has built around her tonight, God. And I command you to fall in the name of Jesus. I command the fire to burn you up in the name of Jesus, God. Move in the name of Jesus, God. Lord God, tear down, God, everything that needs to be torn down, God. Build up, God, everything that needs to be built tonight, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Lord God, I come together, God, with the other believers tonight, God. And Lord God, we thank you for her soul, God, in the name of Jesus, God. We thanking you, God, for change in the name of Jesus, God. We thanking you for healing tonight, God, in the name of Jesus, God.
Yeah.
Lord God,
yeah.
You're seeing her eyes tonight, God, in the name of Jesus, God. I thank you, oh God, that her eyes will be open in the name of Jesus, God, where she will be be able to see clearly in the name of Jesus, God. Lord God, I pray, God, that you would allow her to see things, God, your way, God, through your eyes, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God. I pray, God, that she would be able to hear, God, with your ears tonight, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Lord God, she would be able to feel with your heart tonight, God, in the name of Jesus, God. We thank you tonight, God. We give you glory tonight, God. We give you praise tonight, God. We reverence you, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God. I thank you for Pastor Rebecca tonight, God. Lord God, I just ask, God, that you would breathe on her tonight in the name of Jesus, God. Everything that she's poured out tonight, God, I pray, Father God, that you would restore unto her tonight, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Replenish her spirit in the name of Jesus, God. Lord God, I thank you, oh God, that she will not be weary tonight, God, in well-doing in the name of Jesus, God. I thank you for the victory in her life tonight, God, in the name of Jesus, God. I thank you for increase, God, in the name of Jesus, God. I thank you for elevation tonight, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Lord God, I just thank you for laughter, God. Laughter in the name of Jesus, God. Lord, I thank you, oh God, that you're going to go into her family, God, and bring forth change like never before, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Lord God, I thank you tonight, God, that what she make happens for others, God, you're going to make it happen for her tonight, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Bless her ministry tonight, God. Bring forth increase in the name of Jesus, God. I thank you for this diamond tonight, God. Diamond in the name of Jesus, God. Lord God, you call her a diamond in the name of Jesus, God. I thank you for this diamond tonight, God, in the name of Jesus, God. I thank you for supernatural elevation even now in the name of Jesus, God. Lord God, I just thank you, oh God. I thank you for each and every blessing, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God. I thank you for the healing anointing even now, God, in the name of Jesus, God. I give you glory tonight, God. I give you praise tonight, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much for that prayer. Amen. God bless you. I tell you, prayer is powerful and effective. So I just thank you. Hallelujah. And I just, oh, I touch and agree with that prayer, and it is done. It is done. It is just done. It's done. I believe God. I believe God. God is just so good. He's so good. You know, it's amazing how we want to quench, how we want to sometimes quench the spirit. You know, I'm trying not to prophesy to you. I'm trying not to prophesy to you, but the Lord was just revealing to me. I'm like, okay, God, I'm going to move out the way. That's why I'm stuttering and everything else. Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord was showing me you're his secret weapon. You're a secret weapon in the kingdom of God. And you're like a hammer and a fire, you know, like God is just using you to chip away at the enemy's camp. And he doesn't want you, again, to retreat. He wants you to, God says, continue to advance forward to do what he's called you to do, Prophetess Nichelle. And you are God's prophet. God says that you are his mouthpiece, and he has ordained you since before you were born, while you were yet a twinkle in your parents' eyes. God said that is in essence the very reason that he sent you here to this earth, so that he would be able to use you to cry loud and spare not. And again, God just revealed to me so mightily that you are a secret weapon in the kingdom of God. Do not retreat. Do not stutter. Do not look back. Do not fall back. Do not go back. God says he's going to use you. He's using you now, and he's going to continue to use you mightily for his glory. So you just stand. I'm just hearing, after you've done all to stand, after you've done all in your own power, just continue to stand in the power of his might, his crossroads, his might, his power. And I was trying not to. Lord, I know that's you. I know it's you, because I was like, I'm not going to prophesy to this lady, not tonight, because she didn't, you know, I just wasn't going to. I was just getting ready to be disobedient. But God just wants you to know that he's well pleased. That's what I'm also hearing the Lord say, he's well pleased with you. And the battle is not yours. I'm hearing the battle is not yours, but it is the Lord's. He says, vengeance is mine. I will avenge, make room for my vengeance, says the Lord. So, my God, is that it, Lord?
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Amen. That's it. I'm not going to fight God. It's hard to kick against the goals. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm going to release this word. Amen. But you, sister, you're on the right track. I see train tracks, and I see a fast-moving train. And that's what you are. You know, God is moving you. He's accelerating you. And everybody that's trying to stand in your way is going to have to get out of your way or be run over. I'm just going to have to say it that way. God is making your enemies your footstool, and he's preparing a table for you. He's preparing a table of blessings for you in the presence of your enemies. So, you know, the reason, you know, sometimes with prophecy, you don't want to prophesy out of familiarity or gratitude or emotions. You know, you want to make sure it's God. But when you try to back up, and this is for those of you who are prophets out there, and God is using you prophetically, you try to back up from the Lord, and he pushes you forward and says, no, you go ahead and say it, then you know that's a sure word from the Lord, and it has to be spoken.
Yes, it was.
And amen. Hallelujah. For Shaquella, I know you're still there. You're not on the line. I'm getting ready to open you up. The Lord just wanted me to let you know, Shaquella, God is saying that he's healing you from some pain in your past. Shaquella, the Lord is healing you. He's healing you. God says, I'm healing you. I'm healing you right now in the name of Jesus. I speak healing to you right now in the name of Jesus. I speak healing to your childhood. I speak healing to that little girl. I speak healing to her right now in the name of Jesus. I see a little girl who's been hurt, who's on the inside of a woman. You've grown up to be a woman, and you brought that hurt little girl with you, and God says, I'm making you whole tonight. I'm bringing you into wholeness. That's what I was saying earlier. I was saying that God was calling you to wholeness, and he's calling you. He said, come to me. He's saying, Talitha Kume, little girl, I say to you, get up. Get up. God is healing you tonight. Amen. God is calling you into womanhood. He's calling you into the fullness of being a woman of God tonight. He's healing you. Receive your healing tonight. Father, I thank you, Father God, even for my sister Shaquella, oh God. I thank you for the healing that's taking place in her life on tonight. God, I thank you for bringing her here on tonight, God. Lord, I just thank you for everything that you're doing in her life. I thank you for drying every tear. I thank you, Lord, right now, oh God. Lord, do for her what you've done for me, oh God, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, oh God, rise up on the inside of her, take away the pain, take away the hurt, oh God, take away every tear, every fear, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God said, you don't have to be afraid anymore. He says, give that to him, and he's taking you on a journey with him, and that journey is taking you into total healing, and it begins tonight for you, Shaquella. It begins tonight for you. Hallelujah. So give it to him. Give it to God. Forgive. You got to release some people. God is calling you to forgive some people. You have to forgive them. That's a part of your healing. God says, just begin to say, I forgive them. I forgive every person who hurt me. I forgive them tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I forgive them. And he says, if you have difficulty, just believe me by faith that you forgive, and I'll do it. I'll do the rest for you if you just give it to me by faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. That's it. Hallelujah. Thank you for healing. Put your hand on the God. Lay your hand on the Lord in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. My God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even that teenager, as a teenager, you were hurt, even as a teenager. And God says, I'm healing that. he's kind of journeying, taking that journey through your years with you, and he's picking up the pain. He's picking up the pieces. God says he's picking up the pieces, and he's putting them back together again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Supernatural healing. I declare supernatural healing over the lives of my sisters on tonight, over the life of Shaquella, oh God. Oh God, start with her, oh God. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in her life on tonight, oh God. In the name of Jesus. So much, God. But thank you for putting her back together, God. Thank you for healing her, oh God, taking away the pain, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray for every sister who's listening tonight, oh God, who's been hurt, who's been molested, who's been abandoned, who's been abused, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your hand upon their lives, oh God. Lord, I thank you for, Father God, even allowing me to minister, Father God, under the anointing that you've given me on tonight, oh God, with the unction, Father God, of the Holy Ghost, oh God, to destroy every yoke, oh God. So, Lord, I speak supernatural exponential healing over these lines, over these radio airwaves, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I bind up the hands of Satan. I go back to the past of each and every woman, oh God, and I declare them healed, set free, and whole in the name of Jesus. I bind up the hand of Satan. I cast out every evil spirit that has come to take up residence, and I declare, Father God, that each and every evil spirit is cast out right now from the sound of my voice in the name of Jesus. I take authority right now over every demon on assignment, and I say you have to, I loose you from these women. I bind you up from having any power over them, and I loose supernatural power, that they will have the power to stomp on serpents and scorpions, that they will have the power to cast out demons, that they will be able to lay hands on themselves. And for every woman, just lay hands on yourself tonight. I speak to that pain right now, and I cast out that pain from the past. I speak healing. I speak healing by the stripes of Jesus. You are healed. I speak healing over your life from Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer. By his stripes, I call you healed. I declare you healed tonight. I pour out the oil of the anointing over your head tonight. I anoint you with oil. I anoint you with the oil, the balm of Gilead, the oil of healing on tonight. And I declare you healed right now. I believe it, and all you have to do is receive it. I declare you healed. I release God's power tonight, even as you lay hands on yourself. I release God's power tonight to heal every person who has been touched, to heal every person who has been molested, to heal every person who has been raped, to heal every person who has been abandoned, to heal every person who has been abused. I release God's healing over this line to heal every person who has been rejected, who has been less hurting, cheated on, lied to, every pain that's been stacked on top of pain. I release you right now from the power of the pain of your past. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody here on this line who touches and agree with me, say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Receive your healing tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for total healing, God. Oh, God, thank you for power. Oh, God, thank you for the anointing, oh, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for authority, oh, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you for healing the shell, oh, God. Oh, God, even now, God, I speak to that stomach area, oh, God, oh, God. Hallelujah. I knock on the door of mercy. I knock on the door of healing on tonight, God. And I declare supernatural healing even now, God. Even as it's already done, I declare manifestation of her healing, oh, God, total healing, oh, God. In the name of Jesus, by your stripes, she is healed. I lay hands on her stomach tonight. I release your fire, the fire of your power to heal,
tonight, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I dry up every tumor, every fibroid tumor, oh God, everything thing that's trying to take residence that's not of you, oh God. I dry it up, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for miracles, oh God. We pray for miraculous healing on tonight, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you know, Father God, the life that I live unto you, oh God, I believe that you have given me the power to heal, oh God. So, Lord, I declare that power over these lines tonight, over these airways tonight, that every person who's sick in body, starting with my sister, Prophetess Nichelle, oh God, will be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As the rivers of Ezekiel pour out over these airways, oh God, as the anointing pours out, oh God, give us so much that we have to swim in it, oh God. Not an ankle anointing, not a knee anointing, not a waist anointing, God, but give us enough anointing, oh God, to destroy every yoke. And I declare it done. Ha. Break every yoke. Destroy every yoke. Break it up and destroy it, oh God. I declare it done by your word in Jesus' name. Knowing that your word won't come back to you void, I declare it done in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We have 11 minutes. God bless you, Pastor Sherry Jones. I feel your power. Thank you for touching and agreeing with me, Evangelist Cynthia Robinson in the chat room. Thank you for touching and agreeing with me, and Prophetess Nichelle and Sister Shaquella on tonight. Amen. And Sister Tina, God bless you. I see you there. I see someone with, amen, 908 area code. I see you there. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. We have 10 minutes. Amen. The breaker is here. Amen. The breaker anointing. Hey, ha, hallelujah. Listen, if we believe, anything is impossible. Jesus says, if you believe in your heart and do not doubt, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it shall be done. Amen. We're moving mountains tonight. We're moving mountains of pain, pain of your past. We're moving mountains of sickness. Amen. We've been saved. We've been delivered from sickness. Amen. Hallelujah. And I just thank God for all of you here. Again, I have to go out very early in the morning, so I can only be here about 10 more minutes. So now's the time to call in if you want to call in, if you want to pray or if you need prayer or if you want to say something, if you have a testimony, amen. God is so good. Hallelujah. God is so good. Let's just worship him. We worship you, O Lord. Oh, we magnify your name, O God. We worship you. We glorify your name. You are worthy. Hallelujah. There's none like you, Lord. Some of you need to speak in tongues. Amen. You heard me speak in tongues. I don't normally do that. But when you need edifying, you go ahead and you speak in tongues and edify yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. Tongues is for the edifying of yourself. It's also your heavenly language between yourself and God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Sometimes we just have to praise him. Hallelujah. We have to praise him at all times. Let his praise continually be in your mouth. Amen. Hallelujah. I just declare right now that God is getting the glory here. Amen. He's getting the glory in the archives. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good and worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We bless your name. Hallelujah. We magnify your name on tonight. Hallelujah. You're worthy, oh God. Go ahead and praise him in the chat room. Hallelujah. Praise him on the phone lines. Hallelujah. You're worthy, oh God. There's none like you, Lord. Hallelujah. We're destroying yokes tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're breaking some out of bondage. We're setting the captives free. Hallelujah. Set the captives free tonight. Hallelujah. Open the eyes of the blind tonight. Hallelujah. We glorify your name, oh God. We worship you, oh God. Hallelujah. No weapon formed against us can prosper. God. Hallelujah. We magnify your name, God. Hallelujah. You said you have a great plan for our lives, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, oh God. Hallelujah. We glorify your name. Your word shall not return to you void, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, oh God. Your ways are higher than our ways, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We magnify your name. We glorify your name. Oh God, there's none like you, Lord. Hallelujah. We glorify your name. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you. 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 We praise you. We worship you. Hallelujah. There's none like you, Lord. Hallelujah. We glorify your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your blood. Hallelujah. I plead the blood of Jesus over the life of every person listening. Hallelujah. I plead the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. The blood that cleanses, the blood, the blood, the blood that saves, the blood that gives us power. Hallelujah. The blood that heals. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus, the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's nothing like you, Lord. Oh, God, there's none like you. Oh, God, we magnify your name tonight. We glorify your name tonight. Hallelujah. We lift up your name tonight, God. Hallelujah. We ask you to fill our temples tonight, God. Oh, God, fill our temples, oh, God. Fill our bodies, oh, God. Fill us, oh, God. Fill us, oh, God, to the fullness of you, oh, God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, let not one place be left empty. Let not one place be left dry, oh, Lord. Hallelujah. We need you tonight, God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. We glorify your name. God, release the gifts tonight, oh, God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, release the gifts, oh, God. Stir us up tonight, God. Oh, God, stir up every dry place, oh, God. Oh, God, pour out your anointing on us, oh, God. Anoint us with power from on high, oh, God. We need your anointing just to go day by day, oh, God. Hallelujah. Your anointing for Facebook. Your anointing for Twitter, oh, God. We need your anointing tonight, God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, anoint us with power from on high. We need your anointing for our homes, oh, God. Oh, God, I pray for every home, oh, God. I pray for every child, oh, God. I pray for our children on tonight, God. Hold back the hand of the molester, oh, God. Oh, God, hold back the hand of the molester, oh, God. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. We put a hedge of protection around our children. We put a hedge of protection around every child in the United States of America. We put a hedge of protection around every child in the world, oh, God. In the name of Jesus, we hold back the hand of the molester, oh, God, the pedophile, the pervert. We know what the doctors say, oh, God, but we know that there is no power like the power of the Holy Ghost, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we call out, oh, God, into the heavenly realm, and we take back our children, oh, God. We declare that not one more child will be molested. Not one more child will be raped. Not one more child will be abused. Not one more child will be abandoned, oh God. We call it out in the name of Jesus. There's no other name than the name of Jesus. We declare right now. We declare right now. We pull down principalities and powers, wickedness in high places. And we declare right now that our children are safe and that the children in the United States of America are safe, and the children in the world are safe. And we declare right now through the heavenly realms with the power, the exousia, the authority that you have given us, we cover children everywhere in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we thank you, Father God, right now that the molester will start to go forth. Come forth, come forth, come forth, pedophile. Come forth, molester, come forth and say, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be healed? And we call healing in right now and wholeness on the molester right now. Healing and wholeness on the pedophile. We declare them healed right now by the stripes of Jesus Christ. By your stripes, they are healed. In the name of Jesus, every person who has an urge, Lord, we say take away the urge. Take away the desire to have sex with children. Take it away. Take it away, God. Oh, God, take the taste out of their mouth, God. Take the taste from their loins, oh, God. Right now, in the name of Jesus, We declare it done. We declare it done. We declare healing for the pedophile tonight. Oh, in the heavenly realms, we declare it done in the United States. We declare it done in the world. In the name of Jesus, we pull down the stronghold of molestation tonight. In the name of Jesus, and we declare it done. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Fill us up. Fill us, as Pastor Sherry Jones is praying in the chat room. Fill us up to the utmost, to the overflowing, oh God. Let it wash over us, wash us clean, oh God. Purify us, purge us from the sins of our past, oh God. Remove all residue, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, so you can get the glory in our lives. I speak to that sister right now who's hurting. I speak to that sister who's saved, but she still hasn't been regenerated, oh God. I speak to that sister who hasn't been filled with the Holy Ghost. Fill my sister right now with the precious power of your Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, oh, pour out the latter rain, oh God. In the name of Jesus, a fresh outpouring, oh God. New wine, oh God. Give us new wine skins, oh God. Take away the old, oh God, and fill us with the new, oh God. In the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we just thank you tonight. Mama mama kusha lekesha mama makaha olekesha na mama mama. We thank you, Lord, that it's already done. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Pastor Sherry Jones, I know you didn't call in tonight, but the Lord is saying to you, it's time for you to take center stage. I see you taking center stage. I see God putting you in front of many with your testimony. God is saying that the world needs to know you. I'm hearing it like that. He needs to know you, and the world needs to know you. And God says he's going to get the glory, yet to get the glory in your life. God says be not afraid of their faces. God says don't worry about what people think about you or what people say. He says, I know I've delivered you from fear. He said, but every once in a while the devil will come up and try to come and stop you in fear. The devil will try to come and show his face to you. And God says, resist the devil and continue to press forward. He says, write the book, write the book. Write the book. The Lord says, write the book, and don't worry about how it's going to be published or marketing or none of that. He says, write the book. He says, one step of obedience is going to enter. He's going to enter you into a season of overflow. God says, I'm entering you into a season of overflow. God says, overflow is coming to your house. Overflow is coming to your house. So I just wanted to release that word. I know you're in the chat room, but I praise God for you. Amen. God bless you to everybody in the chat room. We're going off the air. God bless you to everybody on the phone lines. I'm going off the air right now. God bless you to prophetess. God bless you to Sister Shaquella. God bless you to Sister Tina and everybody else. I have to run. I love you, and I thank God for all of you. Please continue to pray for me, amen, as I continue to pray for you. God bless you. We're going to go out. I know God has a song. I'm looking for something. I believe that God wants to say this to you tonight, that he wants it all. So I'm going to play that song. Come back and see me. I'll be back here on Saturday. God bless you. Prophetess, you're still on the air. I just want to say God bless you and I love you.
God bless you. Love you, too.
Amen. And to all of you, God bless you. Amen. He wants it all.
Out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all. He wants it all, and he said, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for hearts that are desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all. He wants it all. And he says, love me. Love me. Child that will give them their all, give it all.